by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 12:30 Central Time. Time for WILL News. I'm Celeste Quinn. The University of Illinois is preparing to introduce Ohio coach John Gross as its next men's basketball coach. A news conference is scheduled this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Assembly Hall in Champaign. Fans are encouraged to attend the introduction. Gross succeeds Bruce Weber, who was fired earlier this month. Gross has been at Ohio, a Mid-American Conference school, since 2008. He led the Bobcats to the NCAA tournament twice, including a run to the Sweet 16 this year that ended with an overtime loss to North Carolina. The Illini finished the season 17-15 after a 2-12 collapse at the end of the season. Classes were canceled for students in Rockford Public Schools after negotiators failed to agree on a new contract for teachers. Members of the Rockford Education Association decided to strike today, but negotiations are scheduled to continue. Teachers and administrators have been working under the terms of an expired contract since July 1st. Efforts to agree on a new contract have been underway since April. The negotiators met for more than 10 hours yesterday before leaving the bargaining table without a deal. While the strike is underway, parents are scurrying to make plans for their children's care. Karen Carlson is the director of the St. Elizabeth Community Center on Rockford's southwest side. She says the strike is hard on families.
There's no way that they could withstand having to miss work because of the strike. I mean, they need their paycheck to make ends meet. And, you know, we want to do what we can to help.
More than 27,000 students are enrolled in the Rockford School District. The last teacher strike in Rockford was in 1984. Republican Congressman John Shimkus of Collinsville sat in on the U.S. Supreme Court's final day of hearings yesterday about the federal health care law. Shimkus is running for re-election in the redrawn 15th District, which includes parts of Champaign County. He says there are parts of the law he supports, such as extending coverage to young adults and addressing issues surrounding pre-existing conditions, but he says requiring people to purchase health insurance or pay a penalty goes a step too far.
If we can just take the Constitution and mold it like a piece of clay based upon our desires and likes at the time, where is the foundation? What is the foundation we're standing on?
The fate of that mandate may rest with Justice Anthony Kennedy, who suggested this week that the requirement goes a step beyond what is allowed by earlier court decisions. A decision on whether to throw out any or all of the law is expected by the end of June. The president of Southern Illinois University has some harsh words for Governor Pat Quinn, whom he accuses of interfering in a power struggle involving a major Quinn campaign donor. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The struggle revolves around Roger Heron, a Harrisburg doctor Quinn appointed to the SIU Board of Trustees last April. His fellow trustees quickly chose Heron as their chair until last week when they voted to replace him. According to SIU President Glenn Pichard, that's something Quinn's office was working against.
What was said to me was, Glenn, it's just simple. You either get him reelected, or come January, the governor will change the whole board, and Heron will be chairman again, and you all will be out. And I said to that person that called me from the governor's staff, fine, you will not intimidate me.
Quinn's spokeswoman says the governor's office regularly calls trustees at SIU and other state universities. She denies that the $21,000 Heron donated to Quinn's campaign funds has any role in the controversy. Heron also gave Pichard campaign cash back in 97 during his failed bid for governor. There's no love lost between the two now.
And apparently we have a problem there with the end of Amanda's story, but that was very close to the end of this story. Again, the copy there that she was in the midst of, there's no love lost between the two now, though. Pichard says Heron is unqualified, while Heron and another board member say it's time for Pichard to go. A judge has sentenced Rod Blagojevich's former chief of staff to 10 days in prison for helping his old boss attempt to sell President Barack Obama's vacated Senate seat. John Harris's sentencing came yesterday at federal court in Chicago, 2 weeks after the former Illinois governor reported to a Colorado prison to begin serving a 14-year prison term on related charges. Harris pleaded guilty in a 2010 plea agreement to conspiracy to commit bribery. He faced up to 5 years. Blagojevich fought charges against him in the media and courts until his imprisonment. The 50-year-old Harris began cooperating just days after both men were arrested at their homes on December 9, 2008. His cooperation included testifying against Blagojevich. The same U.S. District Judge, James Zagel, sentenced both men. Judges' personal information could be deleted from public records under a proposal approved yesterday in the Illinois House. As Brian Mackey reports, it stems from a double murder in the home of a Chicago judge.
Federal Judge Joan Lefkow came home from work to find her husband and mother murdered. That was in the winter of 2005. A few months later, she was testifying before Congress.
A litigant who was angry with me shot him in the head. And my aged mother, on February 28th of this year, for no reason other than that they were in his way on his road to murder me.
In her testimony, Lefkow also pleaded for improvements in judicial security. 7 years later, the Illinois House has responded with a proposal that would allow judges to have their personal information redacted from public records. It covers home address, phone numbers, email address, marital status, and names of children under 18. It applies to government documents like election paperwork and driver's licenses, and it would require private businesses and individuals to remove information about judges upon written request. The measure passed the House without opposition and now goes to the Senate. I'm Brian Mackey.
And at 12:37, that's our look at WILL News. Our next report comes this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered.
WILL program.